Okay, so this is Bio 160, and it's December 2nd. This is the second part of the lecture, after the quiz on urinary system. So let's figure out what the urinary system is, what it looks like, and what it's doing. So the components of the urinary system are the kidneys, and the kidneys produce urine. It does a number of different jobs, but one of the functions is producing urine, and that's a waste product from the body. So the way that urine leaves the body, is that it goes from the kidneys into a urinary bladder, which is a storage place for urine, and the tube between the bladder and the kidney are the ureters. All right, and then at the proper time, the urinary bladder is voided, and fluid leaves through the urethra. All right, so these are the four components of the urinary system. So here is a figure that shows that. Here are the kidneys. They're on your posterior wall of your abdominal cavity. And you can see it has a nice arterial supply. So here's the renal artery. And on top of the kidneys is another gland called the adrenal glands. And kidneys are producing urine, which flow through the ureters into the urinary bladder where it's stored. And then when it's time to void, it's voided through the urethra. And so the urinary bladder is kind of an interesting organ because of its epithelium. What can you tell me about the shape of the urinary bladder? It's round, but does it always look that way? Okay. Well, what I'm trying to get at is that it does what? It expands and it contracts. So it changes shape. So what kind of epithelium do we need lining this bladder right here? It's got to be one that can change shape, right? And what's the kind of epithelium that can change shape? We call it a transitional epithelium, right? So there's shapeshifter cells in there. All right, so what are the functions of the urinary system? A number of functions. It removes waste products from the blood, for instance, like urea. That's a breakdown product of amino acid metabolism. It helps control blood volume. And what kind of tissue is blood? It's connective tissue, but it's kind of a funny one because what kind of connective tissue is it? It's a liquid. Yeah, it's a fluid connective tissue, right? So the major component of blood is water. And so when the kidneys produce urine, that can either conserve water for the blood or take water out of blood. So it changes your blood volume because it's adjusting water levels. All right, and the kidney also regulates electrolyte levels. So electrolytes are just a fancy medical term for ion. And so can anybody give me an example of an ion? And for instance, in terms of the nervous system, we found these to be pretty important, like sodium. Sodium is what? Na with a plus on it. What's another ion? Potassium is another ion. Chlorine is one that has a negative charge, all right, and even calcium is an ion. These are all electrolytes. So the kidney helps regulate these levels because you have to have the proper levels of these things in your body. It also helps the regulation of pH. All right, so what is pH a measure of? Hydrogen ion concentration, yeah, or the acidity or alkalinity of a solution. So if you drink a lot of acids like Coca-Cola or something, it's your kidneys that help excrete that excess of acid that you've just drunk into your body. Okay, so that's a hydrogen ion right there. And red blood cells the kidney also controls the production of red blood cells. And it does that because the kidney can measure oxygen concentration in the blood. And remember, red blood cells help carry oxygen through your blood to all your different tissues. And when oxygen concentration goes down, that can mean that you don't have enough red blood cells. And so it's the kidney then that tells the tissue that makes red blood cells to make even more. Can you remember what kind of tissue makes red blood cells? It's in your bones. It's bone marrow, and in particular, the red bone marrow makes red blood cells. All right. Okay, you have some other excretory organs in your body, like your skin excretes water and salt and even some nitrogenous compounds. Your liver excretes bile and water and salt. Your intestines excrete water and salt. And your lungs, when you ever exhale, you're losing water from your body, so it's excreting water, as well as another product, carbon dioxide. which is a gas, which you learned about in the respiratory chapter. Okay, so let's talk about some gross anatomy of the kidney. So it's a bean-shaped organ, and it's about the size of your fist, right? So you got two of these on the posterior wall of your abdominal cavity, on either side of the vertebral column, and it's suspended by tough connective tissue, capsule, and fat. We call that perirenal fat. So anytime you hear this term renal, you should think of what organ system? Like the kidneys, for instance. And that helps protect the kidney from trauma, from shock to the back. And it's not supported by mesenteries like your stomach and intestines are. And it's actually behind the peritoneal membrane, so we call it retroperitoneal. So it's not really part of your abdominal pelvic cavity. All right, so here are all the things about the kidney that I want you to know about, but I'm just going to show you on a picture what these things look like. Okay. All right, so here's a nice picture of a kidney. Why is it different than this picture right here? Looks kind of the same, but we'll go over both of these. All right, so here is a kidney, and you can see it's kind of bean-shaped. And this part right here, this indentation in the kidney, which helps attach the kidney to the rest of your body via the renal artery and the renal vein and this tube that goes into the ureter, this indentation right here, or attachment point, is what we call the renal hilus or hilum. And if you were to look at a regular kidney bean, right, and a kidney bean is going to look just like this kidney. If you look at a kidney bean, you're going to see a little white spot right there. And that's the hilum of that seed as well. And that's how the seed was attached to the mother plant. Right? So that hilum is just an attachment point on something that kind of looks like a seed to the mother plant. Right? So that's the hilum right there. And your lungs have a hilum too. All right. So if we look right on the surface of the kidney, that's what we call the renal capsule. It's a connective tissue capsule that gives the kidney some structure. And then if we look a little bit deeper, and that's just a membrane, right? The renal capsule is just a membrane. This area right here, just underneath the capsule, that's what we call the renal cortex. Remember, the cortex of any organ is the superficial part. It's the part that's really on the outside of that organ. And then the deeper parts of an organ are what we call the medulla. So all of these things in here are the medulla. Then this right here is the cortex, and then the capsule surrounding everything. All right, so in the medulla, you might notice that there are some of these triangular-shaped structures, and they look like pyramids, right, because they're really three-dimensional structures. So guess what we call those? We call that our renal pyramid. Okay, so here are the renal pyramids, and in between the renal pyramids, we have blood vessels going between them, and they kind of look like columns, and so we call these the renal columns. So the renal medulla has a pyramid, a column, right, interspersed with each other. And let's see, what else do we have? These pyramids are going to be producing urine, and so they're going to be secreting, let's look at this one right here. This is a good one to look at, or this one down over here. So these pyramids are going to be secreting urine, or excreting urine, from a tip. There's going to be thousands of little tubes that are going to be excreting urine into this little tube right here. We call this a calyx. This is a minor calyx. Right? And then we can see, maybe over here, here is another calyx, minor calyx. And where minor calyces come together, I tell you what, let's look at this area right here. Here's a calyx coming from this pyramid. Here's a minor calyx coming from this one, and a minor calyx coming from this one, and these three join together about right here. Can you see where I'm pointing? Okay, so I got one minor, two minor, three minor calyces all joining right about here, and where they all join together, that's what we call a major calyx. Right? And what's the name of the fluid that's inside a calyx? That's urine. Okay, ready to be excreted. So then urine is going to flow through the major calyx into this funnel-shaped structure, which is about right here. This is the entrance into a ureter. This is what we call the renal pelvis. So the renal pelvis is accepting urine from all of these calyces that are that are coming, that where urine is coming from all of these different pyramids inside the medulla of the kidney. Let's see. So here is a calyx right here and right here, and there's one right here. But in this spot right here, we don't have a calyx. This is just kind of an empty spot inside the kidney. It's outside all of these tubes that are carrying urine. But your body never really wastes this space. It fills it with something, right? And it's filled with fat. So this is what we call renal fat, right? And the space is the renal sinus. So the renal sinus is everything outside of these calyces. So you never find urine in the sinus right here. You would find fat. Okay. So renal sinus, oh yeah, here. You can see it between the renal capsule and this calyx right here. That's also part of the renal sinus. And here's a renal sinus with fat in it. So I think that covers everything that's on this slide right here. The pelvis, sinus, calyces, ureter, cortex, medulla, renal pyramids. Yep, that's everything on that slide. Okay. Well, you remember what the structural and functional unit of muscle contraction was. That was the sarcomere. I couldn't quite hear you, but it kind of looked like that's what you said. Is that what you said? Sarcomere, right, in muscle. So a lot of times in this class, I like to define the structural and functional unit of something. Like, what's the structural and functional unit of life? What's the structural and functional unit of life? And if you know how that one little unit works, you have a pretty good feeling for how all of life works. What's that? That's the cell. That's right, it's the cell. All right, what about the structural and functional unit of communication between cells, especially neurons? What do we call that? That's the synapse. But there's a lot of little pieces to the synapse, but if you know how one synapse works, then you pretty much know how all synapses work. All right? So, there's a structural and functional unit of urine formation inside the kidney. And if you know how that unit works, you pretty much know how everything works inside the kidney. So that's what I want to define for you right now. And can anybody guess what that structural and functional unit is? It's called a nephron. Okay, a nephron. And on the slide that I was showing you, if we zoom into this area right here, part of the cortex and part of the medulla, right, it's going to look like this. And all of these tubes right here are different nephrons that are producing urine. Okay, so this is what we're going to look at next and try to understand, is the structure and function of a nephron. Right, so the structural and functional unit of urine formation is a nephron. And it's got a couple of different components to it. It's got some tubular elements, and inside tubular elements we have fluid that's going to become urine, and it's got vascular elements. All right, so what does a vascular element have in it? What does a blood vessel have in it? It just has blood, right? So these vascular elements have blood, and these tubular elements have the precursor to urine, which is what we call filtrate. All right, so these are the components of the tubular elements of the nephron. It starts with Bowman's capsule, all right, all of this stuff right here. And as a matter of fact, you know what I think I'm going to do? I'm just going to draw some of this stuff on the board, but you have this written down, right? Okay, can I close the projector off? Can you see the board? After your eyes adjust, I think you can see the board. Okay, so you got a couple of components. You've got tubular elements and vascular elements. Oh, and here's a nice red marker. I thought it was black, but it's not. So I'll save this for vascular elements. And I'll use the black one for tubular elements, if I have a black one. You see another one? Oh, yeah, real good. Okay, so we're going to start with tubular elements. The first tubular element is something that's going to collect a lot of plasma that's going to leak out of blood. And it's kind of like a corpuscle. It's a spherical structure inside the kidney, up in the cortex of the kidney. And this thing right here we call Bowman's capsule. Right here. Okay, Bowman's capsule is going to be connected to another tube which has a lot of twists and turns in it, like this. So what do we call something that's highly folded or has a lot of twists and turns in it? It's called something that's convoluted, right? It has a lot of twists and turns. And it's a tubule. So this one right here is what we call, because it's close to Bowman's capsule, so here's Bowman's capsule, this is the proximal convoluted tubule. Okay, and then there's going to be a loop that dives deep down into the medulla of the kidney. This thing right here we call the loop of Henle. And this right here is going to be the descending loop. And then as fluid moves back up into the cortex, this is the ascending loop. So I'm going to just put descending loop of Henle, ascending loop of Henle right here. And then this tube is going to connect to another tube that has all these convolutions in it. That's not the proximal convoluted tubule. This is the one that's farthest away from Bowman's capsule. So this is what we call the distal convoluted tubule. I'll just abbreviate it. Okay, and then this empties into the final big tube that's going to go to the tip of a renal pyramid, which we call a papillae. And this is what we call a collecting duct. Right here, collecting duct. All right, so those are all the tubular elements. All right, and I'm going to describe the function a little bit of some of these tubular elements. Okay, so in order for this thing to work, it has to have blood coming into it. So here's blood coming in, and this is an arteriole. The arteriole bringing blood into the nephron is called the afferent arteriole. And it's going to feed blood to a capillary. Here's a capillary, kind of a funny capillary, that's inside Bowman's capsule. And this capillary is very leaky. It leaks a lot of plasma out. Okay, so there's going to be fluid leaking out, so I put an arrow right here. But it's not blood, it's just plasma, it's just fluid, glucose, electrolytes, not even large proteins can leak out, certainly no cells, if the nephron is healthy. All right, and then blood is going to flow out of the glomerulus. Oh, I didn't tell you what the name of that capillary bed was. All right, so this ball right here of leaky capillaries is called the glomerulus, a leaky capillary bed. Fluid is leaking out. Then the remainder of the blood is going to leave this thing, and so this is not the afferent arteriole, this is what we call an efferent arteriole. And it's going to take blood, and this is something pretty interesting about the kidney, to another capillary bed. And this capillary bed surrounds the convoluted tubules and the loop of Henle, like this. Right? And since these capillaries surround all of the tubules, we call these capillaries the peritubular capillaries. Peritubular capillaries. Now, what is interesting about a capillary? What can happen inside a capillary? Small, but what can happen as a result of a capillary? Why are they there? Exchange takes place in a capillary. So what's happening with this glomerulus? This is capillary number one. Fluid is leaking out. Okay, and as a matter of fact, okay, about 20% of the blood, of the fluid that enters the glomerulus, leaks out. All right, so what were to happen if you were to lose 20% of your blood volume because it's leaking out right over here? You would dehydrate very rapidly, right? So Your body can't afford to lose all that fluid, so that fluid that forms the filtrate in these tubules right here gets reabsorbed and put back into the blood in these peritubular capillaries. All right, so exchange can take place here in the glomerulus, capillary bed number one, and the peritubular capillaries will resorb water so you don't dehydrate. So this is a capillary bed number two right here. And then that goes out back to your heart via the renal vein in this direction. Okay, so maybe we talked about, you know what we didn't talk about? A special circulation. Most circulations are the following, where you have the heart and you have a blood vessel coming out of the heart. What do we call a blood vessel leaving the heart? That's an artery, right? So I'm just going to abbreviate it, artery, going to a capillary bed, and then it goes back to the heart. So what is a vessel bringing blood back to the heart called? That's a vein. Okay, so this is the usual circulation that we have in most places in the body, almost 100% of the places. But in a couple places, we have a different kind of circulation. All right. So how many capillary beds does blood have to flow through before it goes back to the heart? Just one. All right. But in this circulation, what do we have? We've got something special. We've got an artery going to one capillary bed, and a vessel going to another capillary bed, and then back to the heart. So here's capillary bed number one. Here's capillary bed number two. And this vessel connecting these capillary beds are what we call a portal vessel. So that's a special circulation that we see in the kidney. It's a portal system, right? So the efferent arteriole is just a connection between these two capillary beds, here and here. Okay, so that's everything for the nephron. Let's take a look at a picture of what it looks like. Okay, so if we just look at the tubular elements first. Oh, you can't see it. There we go. Okay, tubular elements. All right, so here is Bowman's capsule. This first twisty segment is the proximal convoluted tubule. All right, then we've got the descending loop of Henle, the ascending loop of Henle, and another twisty section right here, which is the distal convoluted tubule, and then it empties into a collecting duct that takes urine out of the kidney. All right, so that's the tubular elements. Part of the vascular elements, you have the afferent arteriole bringing blood into the glomerulus, and then here's a vessel taking blood away from the glomerulus. And don't forget the glomerulus is a capillary. This efferent arteriole feeds another capillary that's surrounding all of these tubules. So the picture, here's the picture in your book that shows the nephron, but this is not the one I have on the website. Okay, this one is a little bit harder to see. The one that I put in your notes is a lot easier to see, plus you have a little electronic exercise on how to practice labeling it. So that's the one that will be on the test. Not this one right here, all right? But they're exactly the same thing. This one is just kind of coiled up more than the one that you have the nice handout of. Okay, so here you see a little ball that is going to be accepting plasma from the glomerulus, right? And that fluid that leaks out of the glomerulus into Bowman's capsule is what we call filtrate. And here is the first segment of twisty tubules. We call that the proximal convoluted tubule, proximal coming down, then the distal loop of Henle, and then, I'm sorry, the descending loop of Henle, the ascending loop, and this is the distal convoluted tubule, and it finally ends up into the collecting duct over here, and that's what forms urine. All right, so let me draw that nephron one more time, just so that you guys see how it can be put together again. All right, and instead of writing all these words out longhand, I'll just abbreviate. Okay, so for the distal convoluted tubule, I'm just going to say DCT. All right. So probably what would help you for the test is actually to draw this out yourself a number of times. Okay, that's going to make labeling that diagram really easy. So let's start with tubular elements first. What are the tubular elements? The first thing is the Bowman's capsule. I'll put BC for Bowman's capsule. And then you have the proximal convoluted tubule, the descending loop of Henle, ascending loop of Henle, and the distal convoluted tubule, and then the collecting duct. Those are all the tubular elements. The vascular elements start with the afferent arteriole, glomerulus, efferent arteriole, and then the peritubular capillary. Okay, so these are the kinds of structures that you should be looking for. Okay, so let me draw it out. Here is Bowman's capsule connecting up to the proximal convoluted tubule, which turns into the descending loop of Henle, comes back up via the ascending loop of Henle into the distal convoluted tubule, and then finally into the collecting duct. Right, so those are all the tubular elements of a nephron. What about vascular? How does blood get into Bowman's capsule? Afferent arteriole, blood goes in. Here's that first capillary. What do we call that first capillary? That's the glomerulus. Glomerulus. Blood flows out of the glomerulus via the efferent arteriole, and then it's going to surround all of these tubules right here. So here is a nice capillary network, and I'm just going to kind of draw it like this. And then it's going to take blood to the renal vein, which then takes it back to the heart, right? It goes back to the heart. Okay. All right, so now let me tell you about some of the processes that are happening here between the different elements of the nephron. There are three processes that are involved. All right, so here are the three processes. The first one is what we call filtration. The second one is what we call tubular reabsorption. And the third one is what we call tubular secretion. Tubular secretion. Okay, so filtration. Has anybody ever filtered anything? What can you tell me about filtering? What do you need for filtering? You need a filter. Yeah, you need a filter. And you just need a pressure gradient, right? You need to put something on, like water on top of the filter, and then gravity will cause the water and very small molecules to move through the filter. But what stays behind? Yeah, all the big stuff. Yeah, like chunks of coffee and tea leaves and stuff like that. But only small molecules can get through. So this first step of filtration happens in this structure right here. So there are things that can leave the blood and enter Bowman's capsule based on their size. So small molecules can be filtered through here. Large molecules and cells stay inside the glomerulus and never leave the circulatory system. But water leaves, and salt leaves, and even glucose leaves the blood and ends up in the fluid inside Bowman's capsule. So this fluid inside Bowman's capsule, we don't really call urine, we call it filtrate. So the process of filtration produces filtrate. It's a fluid, and so that fluid then moves through all of these tubules. The proximal convoluted tubule, the loop of Henle, and the distal convoluted tubule. Okay, but there are many good things that leave your blood and end up in the filtrate. One molecule, okay, is going to be glucose. What good is glucose for you? It's an energy molecule where your bodies can make ATP. So glucose you could kind of consider like the gasoline in your car. If the glucose is in the filtrate, where is it going to end up? It's going to go through the collecting duct into urine, and you'll pee it outside your body. That would be like putting a hole in your gas tank in your car. Okay? So that would be a big waste of energy. So what the nephron does is when glucose ends up in the filtrate, it takes it out of the filtrate. It resorbs it and puts it back into the blood. So there are specific transport processes that can take glucose, for instance, that's in the filtrate, so that means it's what? It's inside of a kidney tubule of some kind and puts it where? Back into the blood. So this would be an example of tubular reabsorption or process number two. This right here is process number one. Filtration happens when substances move from the glomerulus into the filtrate. Tubular reabsorption takes place when substances move from the filtrate back into the blood. And why is it that things can move back into the blood in this region right here? What can you tell me about this blood vessel? It's a capillary, and what are capillaries designed to do? Exchange, right, to absorb things. So this kind of blood vessel is designed to be able to resorb things back from this kidney tubule right here. All right, so reabsorption can take place. So what are some things that your body needs to resorb? Water and glucose, two things that your body doesn't want to lose too much of. The third process, tubular secretion, happens when you have things in the blood that your body still needs to get rid of. It can take it from the blood and put it into the filtrate. This is step number three. And this happens, number two and three happens throughout the whole course of the nephron, okay, except for the glomerulus right here. Some things that your body doesn't need would be some toxic compounds that are breakdown products of protein metabolism. For instance, like urea. That's very toxic, and the kidney can actually secrete that from the blood and put it into the filtrate. And when it's in the filtrate, where does it end up? Goes through the whole nephron, down the collecting duct, and becomes part of urine, and then you excrete it from your body. Other things that your body excretes, all right, I'm going to put this up over here, things that are in excess, like excess sodium ions, like after drinking a bunch of margaritas or something, when you have too much salt inside your body, the kidney can excrete it. What else? Maybe potassium, if you had too many banana daiquiris or something, because there's a lot of potassium in bananas. Also hydrogen ions. And what's a hydrogen ion the basis of? What is that the basis of? Acidity in your body, right? pH is just a measure of the hydrogen ion concentration. So when your body becomes too acidic, the nephron can secrete it into the filtrate to get rid of that acid so that your body is not so acidic. All right, so those are the three processes. And after the filtrate moves through all these tubular elements and it's processed, goes into the collecting duct, what do we call that fluid in the collecting duct? It's not filtrate, it is urine. Okay, so there is a big difference between filtrate and urine. Filtrate is the thing that the fluid that's inside the nephron before it's processed. And then after it's processed, okay, it becomes urine. So let's see, what are those three processes again? Yes. Okay, so urine composition. What does your body excrete? Well, some water, okay. Organic wastes like urea, uric acid, creatinine. These are compounds that can be actively secreted via the kidney, and also excess electrolytes like sodium, potassium, chlorine, even bicarbonate, okay, or hydrogen ion. And urine is produced by this three-step process. Okay, the first step is filtration. Where does that take place? Where does filtration take place? Yes. Okay, when fluid moves from the glomerulus into Bowman's capsule, that's filtration. Because there is pressure inside that blood vessel, inside the glomerulus, and plasma leaks out. All right, the second process is tubular reabsorption. And the third process is tubular secretion. So what I have on the slide right here shows which way materials are going to be moving for these three different processes. All right, so where are the two, what are the two fluids that we have in this nephron? We have blood and we have filtrate. So something's either going to move from blood to filtrate or from filtrate back into the blood. So let's look at these three processes and see which way things are moving. So for filtration, we have fluid moving from the glomerulus into Bowman's capsule. So it's going from blood to the filtrate. And that's what I have right here. Okay, filtration, step one, which is what? Blood to filtrate. Tubular reabsorption is what? When you have important molecules in the filtrate that are going to be lost in urine, like glucose, they move back into the blood. So tubular reabsorption is filtrate to blood. And that's what I have over here. Tubular reabsorption, number two, that's this process right here. And then the third one is tubular secretion. Which way does that go? Tubular secretion is when you have nasty compounds like urea that your body does not want to have. It wants to excrete it, so it has to put it in the filtrate. Right, so it goes from blood to filtrate. So that's tubular secretion, which is what? Blood to filtrate. And if it's in the filtrate, then you're going to excrete it from your body, like excess hydrogen ions or excess sodium or things of that nature. All right, so the three processes, again, are filtration. That's just the movement of fluid from blood across the wall of the glomerulus into Bowman's capsule. That fluid is plasma. Everything that's small that's in plasma gets put into the filtrate. So almost 20% of the blood that's entering the kidney gets filtered into Bowman's capsule. So that means good things and bad things. The filtration membrane is just the wall of the glomerulus and the wall of Bowman's capsule. Kind of like the respiratory membrane that we saw in the lung. All right, and the driving force is the filtration pressure. And the fluid that enters the nephron, the fluid that leaves the blood, we don't really call that plasma, even though it looks a lot like plasma. We call it filtrate. But it doesn't have big proteins in it. Okay, if it has big proteins, then there's something wrong with that nephron. So that's the first step, filtration. Second step, tubular reabsorption. All right, which way does tubular reabsorption go? Filtrate to blood or blood to filtrate? Oh, you know what? Let's do that with filtration. Which way do things move? Blood to filtrate or filtrate to blood? It is blood into the filtrate. That's what filtration does. And of course, you should know where that is. That's from the glomerulus into Bowman's capsule. Okay, what about tubular reabsorption? Could we say right away? Where does that go? Reabsorption means taking it back into your body. So this is filtrate, which is going to be lost back into the blood. All right, so this is the movement of stuff you don't want to lose, like water, out of the nephron and into the peritubular space, and then the peritubular capillaries resorb it. And the driving force there is osmosis. So just a concentration gradient, and only 1% of the filtrate becomes urine. The rest is resorbed. What does that mean? Well, as blood comes in, right, 20% of it leaks out. So that means 80% gets put back into the efferent arteriole, which would terribly dehydrate you. Right, so that 20% of the blood that enters Bowman's capsule, by the time it's processed, only 1% of it ends up over here. That means what? That 99% of that water that leaves the Bowman's capsule gets resorbed by tubular resorption and put back in the blood. Okay, so you might wonder, gee, that seems like a lot of trouble. But, you know, I kind of think of how the kidney works, like I wanted to clean out my garage. Okay, so I have this garage that's filled with really precious stuff that I never want to throw out. But if I take a really close look, all right, it's probably all worthless stuff that I wouldn't even know that's in there unless I looked, right? So I might want to put my car in the garage, but I can't because it's filled with all this stuff, right? So someday you might wake up and say, I really want to put my car in the garage and not all this stuff that I really don't need. So what's a good way to clean out that garage? Maybe open the door, pick up one item and look at it and say, oh, I need this or I don't need this. Chances are, what are you going to do? You're going to say, oh, that's very good. Okay, chances are you're going to say, well, I might need it, and you put it back in the garage, okay? All right, what's the best way to get your car in the garage? Like, close your eyes and take everything that's in the garage and put it in the driveway, okay? Throw everything out, and then put your car in the garage, and then look at everything that you've thrown out already, and then just take the absolute bare minimum stuff to put back in the garage, right? And then you throw everything else away. Well, that's what the kidney does. What does the kidney do? At the filtration step right here, it does what? It throws almost everything out. And then the later processes of the nephron takes the essential things like water and glucose and puts it back in the blood. So it's a better cleansing method than if it were just to pick one or two things out. It throws everything and then resorbs essential nutrients that you need, like water and glucose and things like that. Okay, so the last step here is tubular secretion. These are things that are still harmful for you because even with this filtration step, your body can't throw everything out. All right, so some nasty things are still contained in the blood, like urea, excess hydrogen ions. So there are transporters that can take excess hydrogen ions and put them in the filtrate, which then you'll lose as urine. So that's tubular secretion. Movement of substances from the peritubular capillaries across the wall of the nephron and into the filtrate. So, is that filtrate to blood or blood to filtrate? That's blood into filtrate right here. That's blood to filtrate. And that's active transport. That's going to require ATP to do that, but ammonia and excess ions are excreted from your body that way. Okay, let's just talk about some regulation of urine production, the concentration and volume of urine production. Well, you know what? I actually have a couple other really good figures maybe I want to show you before we get to this one right here. Okay, so here is a picture of the tubular elements of a nephron, and here I can see the afferent arteriole going in to the glomerulus and the efferent arteriole coming out. But if we zoom into this region right here, right, this is what it really looks like on the inside. So here is Bowman's capsule. Here is a capillary bed, afferent arteriole coming in. You have a lot of plasma leaking out, forming filtrate in Bowman's capsule, and then it flows through the proximal convoluted tubule, right, the loop of Henle, the distal convoluted tubule, where it's being processed. So that's what the Bowman's capsule with the glomerulus really looks like on the inside. Sometimes, instead of calling this Bowman's capsule, some books call it the glomerular capsule. That's a little wordy for me. Okay, glomerular capsule, that just means that it's this kind of like this little pill around the glomerulus. And if we put a glomerulus together with Bowman's capsule or this glomerulus capsule, we sometimes call this the renal corpuscle. So the renal corpuscle is this whole circular structure right here that's responsible for filtration, that produces filtrate. And if we zoom in even further, you can see that this capillary right here is a special kind of capillary. We call it a fenestrated capillary. It has windows in it, so you can see these big holes. And what do these big holes allow? A lot of fluid. Yeah, a lot of fluid to leak out of the glomerulus and form filtrate in the kidney. Right? So that's why 20% of the fluid volume leaks out of the glomerulus into Bowman's capsule, because these capillaries are especially leaky because they have these holes in them. These holes aren't big enough for red blood cells to leak out unless you have kidney disease and they leak out. Okay, but under normal circumstances, only fluid and small molecules leave, like glucose. Okay, and in your book, here are those three processes. Here is the afferent arteriole going into Bowman's capsule. Here is fluid that's leaving the glomerulus into the Bowman's capsule. So what do we call that process right here? This is filtration. Oh, I wiped it out. Okay, that's a process of making filtrate in the renal corpuscle. And then good stuff is resorbed, so we call that tubular resorption. And then additionally, bad things can be secreted from the blood into the nephron. We call that tubular secretion. All right, so your book talks about exactly what I talked about too. Okay. Okay, regulation of urine concentration and solution. Hormones play the most important roles in controlling urine formation. We only have three hormones that we're going to be interested in, and those are antidiuretic hormone, aldosterone, and atrial natriuretic hormone. And antidiuretic hormone, what can you tell me just by looking at the name, antidiuretic hormone? What is that going to have? What effect is that going to have on urine formation? It's going to stop it, because what does a diuretic do? A diuretic promotes urine formation, makes you pee, right? A diuretic makes you pee, so an antidiuretic is going to stop you from doing that, right? So if you take a diuretic, you're going to lose fluid. If you have an antidiuretic, you're going to retain fluid. And antidiuretic hormone comes from the posterior pituitary gland, right? When you are dehydrated or when you have too much salt in your body, and it's going to decrease urine volume. It's going to decrease water loss so you retain water, so that inhibits the dehydration process that's happening inside your body. Or if you have excess salt, that's going to dilute salt in your body out. All right, so antidiuretic hormone makes you retain water. Aldosterone is another hormone that comes from the adrenal cortex. Can you picture where those adrenal glands are? They're right on top of the kidneys, and the cortex is the superficial part of the adrenal gland. It decreases urine volume as well. And it decreases water loss, so it makes you retain water. All right, so ADH, does it make you lose or retain water? Retain. What about aldosterone? Lose or retain water? Okay, retain water. Two hormones. And these are real important because for the following reason. Say you walk out to your car after lecture and you notice that you have a flat tire. What do you want to do to that tire so that you can go home? You want to fix it. You want to put pressure in. You want to increase the pressure or decrease the pressure? Yeah, you want to increase the pressure inside that tire. So do you take air out or do you put air in to increase the pressure? Okay, you have to put air in to increase the pressure. Well, guess what? The same thing for your body, right? If you have high blood pressure, one way that your body can decrease it is to do what? Put water in your body or take water out? If your blood pressure is high, okay? If your blood pressure is high, does your body want to put water in your bloodstream or take water out? Okay, in that particular case, you should take water out. All right, so when somebody has high blood pressure, we call that hypertension. One way to treat hypertension is to give somebody a diuretic. All right, and so they pee water that decreases their blood volume, their pressure is going to drop. But if somebody has low blood pressure, maybe a hemorrhage or something, what would we like to do to their blood volume? Would we like to put fluids in them or take fluids out? Put fluids in to maintain blood pressure. So this is how the kidney helps maintain blood pressure, by either taking fluids out of your body or maintaining fluids inside your body. Very important mechanisms that work through ADH and aldosterone. This third hormone right here, called atrial natriuretic hormone, guess where it comes from? It comes from the atrium of the heart, right? And again, this is controlled by blood volume. As your blood volume expands, because you're retaining fluids, more blood goes back to the heart and it stretches the atrium. And as the atrium stretches, it secretes atrial natriuretic hormone. And that goes to the kidney, and that increases urine volume and increases water loss. So does atrial natriuretic hormone retain water or excrete water? Yes, I might want to say retain or lose. I'll say lose. Okay, lose water. All right, and as you lose water, what happens to your blood pressure? It goes back down to normal, so that maintains homeostasis that way. So you can see two of these hormones work together, but this third one works in opposition to it. Right? So that's an important property. What do we call that property when something works in opposition to some other kind of mechanism? Antagonistic mechanisms, right? So you have these two competing mechanisms that helps maintain the proper blood pressure in somebody. And we think when somebody has hypertension, this is the one that's not working properly. Okay, this aldosterone mechanism. All right, so which of the above mechanisms are antagonistic? It is atrial natriuretic hormone and aldosterone, as well as atrial natriuretic hormone and ADH. They're antagonistic to each other. But ADH and aldosterone are what we call synergistic. They work together, okay, to maintain blood pressure. Okay, so that's it, I think, for today. I want to draw out the nephron next time before we move on to the diversification system, so on Thursday. But in the meantime, follow that web link that I have on there. I didn't have time to pull it up on the computer, but we're going to start using that next time just so that you can really get the structure of the nephron down for that test. It should be really easy to do. So your test is Thursday. Your quiz is going to be on Tuesday. Yeah. It's going to be on urinary system. Unless you want to take it Thursday. You guys are almost ready to take it Thursday.
I think it would be better if you did the urinary system today.
You did it today? Maybe I'll give you an option to take it on Thursday. I didn't know we'd be so far ahead.